just give it a shot. You have nothing to lose. And if looking at all the cons, you might be in a secure job right now. But following your passion on the side doesn't do you any harm. You have 24 hours in a day. You can do it after work. You can do it on weekends. Why not just give it a shot? Just think about it. If everyone would have followed their calling, we would live in such a better world. And people would be so happy.
I'm Carol Ofori, and this is the Carol Ofori Podcast for thought-provoking conversations. Now, this man began his career cutting hair from his stoop in El Dorado Park. He now owns at least 70 men's grooming salons and employs over 600 people across the African continent. Who is this incredible man, you ask? It is Sheldon Tatchell, a visionary South African entrepreneur who embarked on his journey in 2011 when he set up his modest roadside barbershop armed with only a clipper and one chair. Little did he know that this humble beginning would blossom into the foundation of Legends Barber, which is now Africa's number one rated barbershop. Sheldon's journey has been an inspiration to many, many people all over the continent, and I might even say the world. And that is why I simply had to get him on the Carol Ofori Podcast. Welcome to the Carol Ofori Podcast, Sheldon.
Hi, Carol. Thanks a lot for having me on your show.
I'm so excited. Like, can I tell you my story of how I first encountered Legends Barber? My husband loves to get his fade looking cute and very handsome. Otherwise, we're done. But anyway, he then comes home the one day and says, babe, I just went into this amazing barbershop and they cut my hair, and I've never had my hair cut this wonderfully in my life. And I was like, what? Okay, cool. Very cool, babe. You look handsome. You look fantastic. He went back a few times. Then he comes again. He says, guess what? I was going to the Florida branch. Now there's another branch even closer to home. It's springing up, honey. And now I have a baby boy. He cuts his hair there. We cut our hair, whether we're in Joburg, whether we're in Durban. Wow. That's where we cut our hair. And you kind of are synonymous with, like, cutting hair. That's where you cut your hair. So you got to take us back to the beginning. I believe it started in Aldo's on a stoop in front of an internet cafe. The kids of today will say, what is an internet cafe? But take us back.
Yeah, no, shout out to your husband, and thanks a lot for supporting us, and yeah, we really appreciate it. Just to go way back, I think I just have to add a little more context to the story.
We need the context. Yes. We need all of it, yes.
So at the age of 14 years old, and I think a lot of youngsters could maybe relate with us, so at the age of 14 years old, I always had this within me to basically do something with hairstyling and just had an entrepreneurial spirit. But little did I know that cutting hair was one of them. And what happened was that there was barbers in my community, so I really wanted to learn the skill. I went out to these different barbers, and on a weekly basis, I would go out to them and just see what they are doing. And I would come home and practice and give kids free haircuts, and but it's just to better my skill. And sometimes these barbers would chase me away and say, get away, you're stealing from us. But I would just return the next weekend with a bottle of coloring as a bribe for my next lesson. And as simple as it sounds, that was me just getting to learn how to learn the skill of cutting hair.
Right.
And little did I know that cutting hair actually drove me not only to making people look good, but also to making them feel good as well. And I was working at a bank, because this was back in 20. I started working at a bank when I matriculated, and I always wondered, can I make a career out of cutting hair? Is it possible? I mean, nobody has ever done that before.
Right. And what were you doing at the bank?
So my job title was actually an account management consultant.
Okay. Okay.
Sounds very fancy, huh?
It does, and I think it feeds into your business element now, right?
Yeah, but if you must know that I was just a debt collector.
You're the one who's like, I'm not here. Doot, doot, doot. Yeah, okay.
I'm the one that used to call you and say, you know what, Carol, your account is in excess. Please pay up.
Right.
Yeah, so that was my job and I was doing it. But yeah, cutting hair was, it always just pulled me to cutting hair. And, and I used to do it part-time at a sideline hustle. And I thought, maybe I'm free on weekends. Can I just give it a shot? So my cousin had an internet cafe, and I asked him if I can make use of his stoop in front, and he agreed with the condition that I only come on weekends.
Mm.
I said, okay, good shot. I went and started out. This was July 2011.
Wow, you remember
and
that month. Okay.
This was, yes, it was quite cold. I can remember.
Yeah.
And during this time, I saw people coming and queuing up.
Yeah.
Fair and well, Facebook was just coming up. And I used to send invitations to all my friends and say, you know what, this cool barber. And back then, I used to charge like $15 a haircut.
Wow.
And it was like almost next to nothing. But across the road from me was another barber. And across the road from him was another barber.
Okay.
And I saw actually people coming to come sit in long lines and waiting for me to cut them in the cold. And I always wondered, what makes me so special? What is my unique selling proposition? And I went across the road, being as inquisitive as I am, kind of see what they are doing. And I realized that for them, it was just a monetary transaction. So it was just cut your hair, done, finish. I back then saw what made me stand out. And this was purely just building a relationship with each and every customer. Wow. And how I done this was I had a notebook and a pen, and after each and every customer, I would take note of the person that I'm cutting care of today, and I would take note of the type of conversation that we had. And next time you come sit on my chair again, I would make reference to that.
Oh, wow.
And that would be the simple thing of building a relationship, because the skill is one thing, but that interpersonal relationship is the one thing that's so important, and it's something that we're lacking within our industry. And I think that really just made me stand out.
Wow. and we kind of negate the importance of making your customers feel special. I think a lot of big retailers, big businesses forget about that. And, you know, you grow and then you forget about it as a business as well. It starts as your infancy, but as you grow, you're like, you know what? You here because I'm the cool cat.
Yes.
But you've kind of never lost that.
People say this ironically, you say that people comes first in business. But what we actually do is that each and every morning I have a list of all my employees whose birthday is it today, and I'll all give them
all 600.
Yeah, all 600. And sometimes, like today, I gave three guys a phone call to say, guys, happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful day. You understand? Simple things like that. That just ignites and brings that. Because if you think about it, everything is around people. You understand? Mm. And we exist because of people. We don't exist just to better ourselves, just to think about ourselves. We always want to be selfish and just think about what can we gain out of this earth. But we exist to really empower and encourage people. So I think that's the motto in our business, basically.
So you realize you've got a notebook, you're different to the other two guys. How do you go from that chair to Legends Barber International?
Yes. Yeah, okay, things started picking up on the stoop, and obviously things started getting out of hand, and we decided, okay, you know what, let's give it a shot, and let's just open down the road.
When you say let's, who are you referring to?
Okay, so let me just take it back. So I had a partner.
Okay.
I had a partner, and so while I was cutting it on the stoop, I brought in a guy, and I was like, you know what, from today, you're my partner, you're my friend, so you can also cut here, I can cut here, so we're going to do this thing together. And he agreed. So we moved into this unleased premises, and I say unleased in inverted commas.
I need to hear more about this unleased premises. Okay.
So we moved into an unleased premises, and the landlord told us straight, there's no contract here if you don't pay you out. And that was simple, plain, one-sentence liners. Like, guys, you'll have to pay on time. Okay, so we launched on the 1st of September.
As Legends Barber?
No, okay. No, it was just the barbershop.
Okay.
It was just the barbershop, and we never had a name. Okay. I always wondered.
Just that guy.
Yeah, just the barbershop one day.
Right.
It's just the barbershop. And so what happened was that things started picking up. We started getting local guys from the community to come and assist us, powering them, giving them the skill. And on quiet days, like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, used to typically be our quiet days. We used to go out to the old age homes and to the schools, and we used to give back.
Wow.
And we used to cut the kids for free and the old people for free. But our elders was something that we enjoyed the most, because the type of stories that you hear from these guys, the type of entertainment that you get from them, you understand?
Yeah.
They are so fun to be around with.
That's true.
And I enjoyed it so much that I decided to name the barbershop after them, because they are the legends of our community.
Wow.
And that's exactly where the name Legends comes from.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was one of my questions. Yes. Why the name Legends?
Yes. Yes.
So there's no name barbershop. You have these legends that have inspired you. take us to the first Legends store and how that happened.
Yeah, so now we changed the name. Now it's now Legends Barbershop at that specific location. A few months down the line, I get married on the 4th of December.
Yeah.
And something I'm so proud of.
Oh,
yeah.
That's beautiful. Look, Brownie yes. points. Ding, 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 yes. ding. If she's listening, yes. she's like, well done, well done. Well done.
Well done, yeah. Sorry, ladies, I'm taken. Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
So, got married on the 4th of December. Partner says, cool, go away. I got everything under control. He has access to everything. And so I said, okay, that's cool. I went away for 6 days. Came back. Doors are closed.
Whoa.
I'm like, okay, what's happening here? And I called him up. He never answered his phone. I called one of the guys that was working at the time. And he explained to me that, you know what, guy never paid the rent. But also, on top of it, he never paid their daily wages because the guys used to get paid on a daily basis on commission that they make. Standing in front of those closed doors, a bit disappointed, just thinking, you know what, maybe this is not for me.
Back to the bank.
Yeah, maybe I should just leave it right there and then. So as it, I just left Barbara in there right there and then.
Wow. So you didn't go and look for this guy and let's take it to the streets?
No. I just left it. I just gave up.
Yeah.
I just totally gave up. And I said, who was I fooling trying to make a career out of cutting hair?
Sheldon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was the end of me trying to pursue something that... and I just continued working in the bank. But you know, the thing, Carol, like if something is for you, it will definitely come after you. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you have a calling and you know the thing that you're doing doesn't feel right. You
right.
understand? And you have a purpose to actually serve people. And the service actually came from me being able to cut people's hair.
Mm.
And that's something that's been bothering me each and every day since I left it right there and then. Okay, so customers never stop calling me.
They're like, hey man, this hair is looking crazy. Right.
So customers never stop calling me. And 2013, I decided to get myself a scooter. So I got myself a scooter and then decided after hours to go out to customers, on weekends to go out to customers.
Starting again
and maybe just do it on my own and just see how I can get things going.
Mm.
Simple, I used to go out as far as the east from the west on my scooter, on the highway, illegal.
But I used to, Mr. Delivery is on the way, yeah.
But I used to do this and it was so crazy because these are the things that I used to do, not for money. I didn't do it for money. It was purely just for a passion-driven project. And as you can imagine, I have a permanent job at a bank. I'm earning okay, but this thing right here is like, I never thought that I could make a career out of this. But it just basically just restarting and just seeing how we can get going. And I can remember visiting this one customer. This was 2013. So I get to this customer's place and I saw he was trying to call me. I'm at a boom gate and I call him back. And obviously I had a Yamutan, so I couldn't answer. And I call him back and he explained to me that there's load shedding here.
We
can't cut. And there was no cordless clippers at the time. So I was like, okay, what do we do? So there's nothing you can do. Just come another day. So a bit disappointed, driving all the way back home.
All the way on the highway, Mr. D-style.
Yes, driving all the way back home and thinking to myself, you know what, that's a bit disappointing. But there was something that just triggered me to dream about something. And I went home, I went to go sketch a bus, and in this bus I sketch exactly how the bus must look from every detail of the bus. So people would jump onto this bus, get a haircut, and in the bus was fully powered, and the bus can catch you wherever you are, you understand? And that was a vision back then, 2030. Obviously I never had the money, so
but you brought it later on. Yes. As part of your service as a VIP service.
So,
yeah,
exactly five years after September 2017, the bus came into fruition. So that was one of those things where, you know, it just goes you the power of writing your goals down.
Mm.
If you write it down, it will definitely come to pass. I'm a firm believer that whatever you meditate on a daily basis, it will come to pass. You understand? Mm. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be as small as maybe just something that you just want to achieve, but just meditate on it constantly. And eventually it came to pass, 2017.
So the bus is the first Legends Barber outside of the previous setup?
No. No. Okay. So the following year, 2014.
Yes.
So 2014, July 2014, I then decided, come I give it another shot, but this time I'm going to do it on my own.
Okay.
No partners, no nothing. And I eventually got to regain the trust of the guys that was working at the time, and they came on board. We then relaunched on the 26th of July, 2014. And with our relaunch, people remembering the old barbershop.
And where was the first one?
It was in the El Dorado Park as well, yes.
Right.
Yes, so people remembering this. A week later, I then tendered my resignation at the bank, and I'm like...
Week after opening your shop, okay.
A week after opening my shop, and I was like, okay, you know what, tendered my resignation at the bank. My manager laughed at me, and he was like, nah, I don't think you can do this, but whenever you need your job back, just hit me up. Yeah. So then I never looked back from there. It was tough, but I can definitely say that once something is for you, I go back to that whole thing is that there's a calling on everyone's lives, you understand? Mm. And once you fulfill your calling, you feel fulfilled each and every day, because it's not about how much you gain, but it's how many lives you impact. And years on, we had a goal of opening 5 stores in 5 years. Eventually, we opened 70 stores in 5 countries. So
I cannot deal. Let's talk about these 70 stores in 5 countries.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got South Africa down. I know you're in Botswana.
Yes.
I saw some images in Ghana.
Not yet in Ghana.
You were just doing
just doing a tour to lay off the land, basically.
South Africa, Botswana,
Lesotho, and Zambia.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So quite amongst the SADC region.
Wow. And I'm so curious to find out, what are your plans for the future? Because clearly you're not stopping.
Yeah. I think my main objective, because one thing, I'm not as proud as for the 70 shops as I am for what we're doing in people's lives. For example, we open a training academy, and we give free training for guys who love to join in Legends and become a barber in Legends, or for guys who want to start their own businesses, and guys from the local community. I think that for me is much more of a passion-driven thing, and it's something that I'm quite hands-on.
Wow. So you're not scared that tomorrow champion barbershop is coming?
No.
From the guy you taught?
No.
There's
no
Legends. I'm going to be champion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the whole idea, is to have, if Sheldon can do it, what about the next person? What about the next person? You understand?
Yeah.
If you're able to instill that into the next person's life, I mean, like you have that full fulfillment to say that at least I impacted, I made a seed. I at least was there to help somebody to get to their vision.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's so beautiful about your story is that you're from El Dorado Park. Yes. Your vision starts in El Dorado Park. I know El Dorado Park very well. I've got family there. And I know a lot of young people, it's very easy to get caught up in the wrong side of, you know, the wrong side of life.
Yes.
And find your path very different to Sheldon. And you are a hero. From El Dorado Park. You are a guy that the young ones look up to and say, wow. And even your peers and older people say, wow, he has done this for his community. And it must be quite a heavy thing to carry on your shoulders, that you come from a community that you shouldn't have done what you've done.
Yeah.
The maths is not mathsing.
Yeah.
For you to have done what you've done in the time that you've done what you've done, and with the setbacks,
yes,
still get up and do what you do.
Yes.
How do you cope every day knowing that you have this big responsibility now for you to keep going?
Yeah.
Because there's so many people watching you saying you can't give up now. You can't say throw in the towel now. You've helped too many people now. We are looking up to you. How do you do it?
Yeah, I think it's just staying true to who you are. I think that's the fundamentals. Just remembering that it's not about you. It's not about Sheldon. And I know that the name in a community speaks volumes, but it's not about Sheldon. It's about the purpose that Sheldon has. You understand? Mm. It's about the purpose that Sheldon has for the community. You understand? If you look at how many people came from that specific community and lives been changed through basically a vehicle called Legends Barber, that's what it's about. You understand?
Yeah.
So I don't think that I wake up with a load every day where I just feel that the purpose is much greater than myself. And even if Sheldon do pass away one day, that the purpose will still continue.
Wow. So from the 70 you have, I know you franchise some to some people. Yes. Are most of them owned directly by you, or is it mostly franchised? And is it an expensive process? If somebody's listening and they're like, I actually would like to invest in this kind of business, I like the core of what it stands for.
Yes. So currently there is a 60-40 split between franchise and corporate-owned stores. So we still do have a lot of corporate-owned stores. If somebody would love to get involved into a franchise, the price range, depending on the size of the shop, there's something that we're introducing in the next coming month, which is like a two-chair and these type of setups that you can have, whether in your gyms or wherever it is, just a two-chair setup, and that's like varies from 250K. And if you have something like in a mall or in a shopping center, that's like from a million upwards. Mm-hmm. And it really depends. It really depends what type of setup you're going for.
Yeah.
But I would say that franchising has definitely helped us to grow. Franchising has been an interesting journey, because one thing that you must understand about franchising is that we don't sell franchises now. Franchises get awarded. And when we say franchises get awarded, is that we always look for the best candidates for franchising.
Right.
The reason why we started franchising is because of our customers. Our customers wanted to be part of the brand. Our customers wanted to be so involved. We had customers in the beginning spending so much time at the shop, and they were like, you know what, I want to be part of it. I want to be involved in this. And that's the reason why we franchise. One of our first franchise is Ricky Rick, and God bless his soul. He used to go to the shops. He used to basically just go visit any store and just go sit at the shop and just say, you know what, I just want to see how this works. And that's the type of people that we would love to have on board, because it's not an investment. It's not an investor's. It's much more, you have to be hands-on, you understand?
Right.
And that's important.
I love that you touched on your relationship with Ricky Rick, because, yes, I do remember when he got into the business with you. It was all over social media. Everybody's excited because he always had this perfect beard, perfect fade, perfect hair. Like, he always just looked so perfect.
Yes.
And he was like the poster boy of, like, if you want to look hot, all right, if you want to look groomed, come to Legends, right? And I know that you had a relationship. You started cutting his hair.
Yeah.
And then you became really good friends. And I mean, if I just troll your Instagram, there's several pictures of the two of you together with a message from you.
Of course.
Can you tell us about your relationship with Ricky Rick and some of the conversations you may have had?
No, it's crazy.
Because you know, you've got your notebook, Moss.
No, definitely. Definitely. So I can remember talking about, the crazy thing is that the last time I was in the studio was with him.
In this studio?
No, in the studio next door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the studio with him. He was interviewed with Martin Bester and Lisa Lowry. They had a show
on. Jacaranda, yeah.
Yes, they had a show on. And he actually asked me if I can come on board and just come sit with him in the interview. But we had such a good relationship. There's been so many celebrities that I've interacted with.
Let's name drop. Give me the names.
Every singer that you can think of, every soccer player, the time when I was cutting hair, they used to cut any and everyone experience, whether it's from Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, Sundowns, whether it's, I even had an opportunity to cut Usher's hair as well.
Usher, yes, Raymond!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, where did that happen?
That happened in Houghton,
Houghton
at his hotel, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, okay, I know I'm throwing you off track, but okay, Usher, Raymond, and then Ricky, we're back on Ricky,
back on Ricky. I had an opportunity to serve all these guys, but I just felt that the most genuine person that you can ever interact with is Ricky.
Yeah.
The one reason is that he gives himself off to people. The one thing I've learned from him, that is not self. He's all about serving people. And you have learned so much. Till today, people are talking about Ricky because of the impact that he had on people's lives. The other day, I went to go fill up at Waterfall at the Shell.
Yeah.
And even the petrol attendants were saying, Are you that guy?
We
remember Ricky, you understand?
Because his shop was in Waterfall.
His shop was in Waterfall. I went to the Checkers and I do remember our boss. And you understand, imagine somebody of that stature being able to treat somebody that's far lower than they are with so much dignity.
Yeah.
You understand what it says? It's like, I think the thinking is that I don't want anything from you. I'm willing to give you the respect you need.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give you a tip. I'm willing to treat you with that because you deserve it. You understand?
Right.
And it's nothing to do with, I don't want anything in return. And that's the thing that I've learned from him is that it doesn't matter where you are. treat everyone with respect. And you never know, you understand, it's all about people and it's all about how you serve people.
Yeah.
And his life, that's why people still talk about him till today, because his life has been about people, about serving people. His life is about the impact that they had on people's lives. And yeah, I mean, till today, I'm still touched. It's been three years.
Yeah.
And I'm still touched by him. Yeah, 2 years on.
And how are you doing considering he took his own life? Obviously, you may have had so many conversations and never maybe have thought that he was in a space like that.
Yeah.
How are you feeling that, you know, he sat in your chair a few times and he may have said something maybe and you know, you missed a cue or whatever. You know how it is when someone passed, you'll be like, you know, now that I think about it, he said this and I just thought it was a joke. But now I realize that that may have been deeper than just a joke.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the craziest thing is that a few days before he passed on, he called me. And interesting enough, like normally when he called me, we'll have conversations for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And this particular moment when he called me, I was driving all the way from Pretoria to the office in Randburg. And we were on the phone for like 50 minutes straight. And he was just talking about what impact Legends has on the community, the things that Legends are doing, the training and all of these things. And he was talking about all of these things. And during our conversation, I couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, you know, it is a bit weird that we're having this long conversation. I mean, like, we do talk, but we never talk so long on the phone for so, and just talking about this particular point. And that was one of the things that when he passed away, it was like, you know what, that was one of the things, and I never picked it up. And before that, it was much more about he wanted to have so much impact on the youth, you understand?
Yeah.
And just think about how the youth can benefit from being able to have a skill that can get them going through their lives.
Mm.
And thinking about that and saying, you know what, we have to fulfill this mission. And it still never dawned on me, and I think nobody could pick it up. Nobody could pick it up. I think his way of doing things was still normal. His character was still the same, but nobody could ever pick it up. Obviously, there was some things that was off. I'm quite close with Bianca, his wife, but even she couldn't pick it up at the time. And it was like, you know what? We didn't know.
Mm.
We purely didn't know. It was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how tough that was. Another famous rapper, his last haircut was in your Legends barbershop in Florida Road.
Yes.
AKA.
Yes.
The video circulated of him sitting in that chair, looking very comfortable, enjoying getting his fade on, getting his hair done, and just a few steps away from your store is where he met his untimely death, right? Where he was brutally murdered. You obviously had a relationship with him. Do you recall that the moment you got that phone call that this had happened not so far from your shop? And how are you? How did your barbers do? Because They were just there.
It was a shock. It was, everyone was so shocked because nobody expected it. It was one of those things where it was, nobody could believe. You understand? Mm. It was, is it really him? Is it really taking place? Is it really that moment?
Right.
And I mean, it just goes to show that life has, everyone has an expiry date on them, and you never know when it's yours. It's just one of those things where we unpredictable. Things happen and we can't actually put our finger on whether we can maneuver and do things according to, but things just happen and it takes its course. Yeah.
Did you have a good relationship with him at all, or not as close?
Yeah, no, not as close with him, but we definitely interacted. I'm not sure if you saw one of the music videos that he was featured in, one of the music videos with our store and stuff like that. So, He's also a legend of a kind. I mean, like, what he has done for the industry was truly amazing, and people still talk about him today. He's really just made a huge impact on the industry. I think looking at from what he has accomplished till then, it's been incredible. It's truly been incredible. Yeah. And sometimes we just need to take our hats off for people that has been able to have such a huge impact on the music industry.
Yeah. Do you remember your last phone call or conversation with him, AKA?
So, yes, we had a video call, and while he was shooting a video in front of our bus, so we had a video call, and he was saying that we have to get together soon and we have to touch base. The crazy thing is this. On that call, he was like, you know what, I actually want to buy a franchise, but I want my franchise to be different. I don't want my franchise to be like Ricky's.
Right, right.
So he says, like, you know what, I have t-shirts from Man United that was signed. I want that to be in my barbershop. And he came up with all of his things. And it was like, you know what, it has to be special. It has to be one of a kind. And Kenan is always extravagant. So he wants to do something like totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the last conversation we had.
Oh, wow. It seems to me that you are rooted in your faith. I know your stores, we've waited many a times outside your shop because the guys are standing in a circle and praying. And we're like, oh, can you open the door? And it's a standard thing, you know, whenever we go, if we come early in the morning, it's you wait outside, ma'am, please, we are praying. And then as soon as you finish praying, they open the doors and the music is on and the guys are singing.
Yes.
And it's a party inside the actual barbershop. Was that your vision? The starting with the prayer, the music, is it part of the recipe of legends?
Yeah, I know it's part of what we do. It's part of our culture. It's part of what we believe. I think every business has a belief system, and we believe in Christianity. We believe that instilling certain principles in our youngsters, not only from the shop, but even from the training center, if they are able to grasp, and because imagine these guys come from different communities. These guys, the only rehabilitation they have is through reading the Bible and having that interaction with God. You understand what I'm saying? Because at a training center, you come there and we transform young individuals into men. You understand? Mm. So it's a whole process. And each and every day we would share a word in the morning. It's like a small devotion. And after that, we start praying and we give everyone opportunity to pray. And we have our daily devotions as well, things that we see on a daily basis at all stores across, wherever you are, it doesn't matter where you are, you say our daily devotion, and this is our daily devotion that we say each and every day, and it doesn't matter. And
so what is the daily devotion?
It's a long thing, okay. but it starts off and just says that God is our unfailing supply, and this is what we firmly believe, that each and everything happens because of God, you understand? And everything that we hear because of God's purpose. And what we do is to serve others. It takes me back to the time when I started cutting hair at the age of 14 years old. My youth leader was also cutting hair, and he shared a verse with me in Colossians 3 verse 23 that says, whatever you do, do it full-heartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men, because you know your inheritance comes from God.
Mm.
Now, how I took that into my personal context is that whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it as unto God. So every haircut, I'm going to do it perfect. If I'm going to clean, I'm going to do it perfect. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it as unto God. And that's exactly what we instill in the youth, you understand? Because guys come from different communities, different backgrounds. You're dealing with all of these things, so they have to be rooted in something, which is the word.
Yeah, I love that. Do you cut your hair inside your Legends barber?
Yes.
Do you cut your own hair, or do you have a special guy who does your hair for you?
No, I don't have time to cut my own hair. But I visit all the stores and basically just do a quality assurance check.
Right. And are you still putting people in a chair and cutting? Are you too busy now?
Not much. I think the person that just bothers me is my son. He's 7 years old, so so sometimes I'll cut his hair. So,
And that's the only guy who gets the haircut.
Yeah,
that's
the only guy. It's like,
Now, when you look back at your life, did you ever think that day when you stood in front of the store the first time and it was closed, that you'd be sitting here 2024, all these stores open, this is your life? Did you ever, was there ever a glimmer of like, I can see this vision coming for me?
Not at all.
And when did you know you made it? When did you know you're like, I'm legend?
No, not at all. I think it was never, the goal was to open. I mean, when we relaunched 2014, the goal was always to open 5 stores in 5 years. And that was the goal. I don't know how I was going to do it. I don't know what I was going to do it with, but it was one of the goals. But looking back, I would never say. And I think it speaks back to just following what you believe, because you never know where you could end up. You understand? You definitely never know that speaking or that cutting head or that doing this type of skill. Because if you look at it, Trevor Noah is sitting in America. He's doing his thing. You understand?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? You understand? Yeah. There's so many examples of people whose gift has made so much room for them that they have in places where it's like, you know what, I never, ever in my wildest dreams thought that this would have been possible.
Wow. So you're living one of your wildest dreams.
Yes.
That's pretty profound. Yes. That is pretty profound. What does the future look like for you? Where are we going?
So where we're going is quite exciting. We continue to have... this year is actually the 10th year since we relaunched Legends.
Wow, okay.
And we relaunched in 2014, and this year is the 10th year. And I think we are doing something special sometime this year. Specifically for our day one customers, people that's been there, people that's been supporting us, people that's walked the journey with us. You know, there's people that's consistently from day one. You understand? And I'm like, you are still here.
You're still here. What's wrong with you?
You're still here. And that's truly amazing to see. Yeah. That support is incredible. And it's just because they are the advocates for us. They are definitely the advocates for us, and they create Legends what it is today. So there's a lot of things in the pipeline, but we continue to remain true to who we are as a business. We continue to empower. We continue to help those in need. We continue to do things that God has called us to do.
Yeah, you've done a lot of things where you've cut homeless people. I've seen on your socials. And good on you for sharing, because I think most of us wouldn't know. And it's important to know to do good. Because
yes.
When you see more people doing good just because they can and where they want to, it encourages them.
It encourages them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the purpose behind it. Because we have to encourage acts like that. Mm-hmm. Because it's through those acts that people can understand that it's not only about profit, it's about people. You understand? And once you are able to help somebody that's homeless, somebody that's just there, yeah.
So 10 years you're in the business. Have you seen that guy that messed up your life?
Yes.
10 years ago. And as he said something, as he apologized, as he at least acknowledged that, ish, guy, I'm so sorry, man. What's been the engagement now that you are flying like an eagle?
It's so crazy that I met him coincidentally. And it was like at one of our stores. So I was on my way to Pick and Pay and just going to go buy some drinks for the guys, and as I walk, just walk into him just like that.
How long ago was that?
So it was like 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And imagine like
last time I saw you, you closed my store.
And it was so awkward though, you understand? Yeah. Because we were so close back then. Mm. We were very close. And just had a chat with him, and I think I had to say thank you.
You said thank you to him.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Because, and what did he say?
Because if it wasn't for that,
you wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I think life, everyone's journeys are different. Everyone's my vision might not be your vision. And I made peace with it. And I'm like, you know what? Everyone has their own vision. Everyone has their own purpose.
So when you said thank you, he just was like, thank you. Thank you, bye. I mean, what do you say back to thank you? What did he say to you?
No, he was feeling awkward. He was definitely feeling awkward because he could see that it's different. It's definitely different. And once you're able to put yourself at this position and just realizing that, you know what, everyone, it's totally different as being able to walk the journey that you walked and experience the things that you experience. It's been totally different.
I think you're an incredibly humble person, you know. You're an incredibly humble person because a lot of people would have either just looked the other way, because that awkwardness would just leave you in a space of, I think I'm going to just look the other way. And others would have been like, aha, I found you. Where is my money? You know what I mean? And you took the complete high road and then to thank him is powerful.
Yeah,
I'd love a message, because I think your story is so inspirational. There's someone listening to this podcast now who's had that thing that's scratching them, saying, do this. This is not what you're doing. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. Do this. But fear is just literally choking them, because we live in a society now where, you know, unemployment is rife. And the last thing you want to do is take a leap of faith in something and find yourself in that position. What are your words of encouragement?
I would definitely say that the one thing that I wish that I had known is just to do what Sheldon has done. If you think about it, I just started. It wasn't. If I never gave my cousin a call to say, you know what, I would love to do this on your stoop, and if I never took that initiative, it would never have been where it is.
Mm.
So just start. Just give it a shot. You have nothing to lose. You absolutely have nothing to lose. And if looking at all the cons, you might be in a secure job right now, but following your passion on the side doesn't do you any harm. You have 24 hours in a day. You can do it after work. You can do it on weekends. You understand? We have so much time. So why not just give it a shot? Just think about it. If everyone would have followed their calling, we would live in such a better world. Mm-hmm. And people would be so happy to come to work each and every day, waking up to say, no, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have impact on somebody's life. I'm going to actually love what I'm doing. I love this with all my heart. And it goes beyond just the paycheck. It goes now with each and every person that I serve. I'm going to meet different people.
Mm.
And each and every day is going to be a different day. It's not going to be a mundane thing each and every day that I'm going to do the same thing.
Right.
So just start. I think that's the reason why the Nike slogan is so powerful, because the full Knight in him understood that procrastination is a thing of our generation, because we procrastinate with so many things, and we don't have that within us just to start something. And it's just important. Just do it.
Just do it. I love that. And my final question is, we are a couple of days away from our elections. What do you see for the future of South Africa as a massive business owner? You impact so many lives. This economy being unstable doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
Load shedding, water cuts, all these things affect your business directly. What do you see for the future of Mzansi?
I definitely think that the future is still in South Africa. I mean, like, we have businesses in other countries, but it is not definitely the same like South Africa. South Africa is, to call it in terms of people actually make a career, and businesses actually thrive in South Africa compared to other countries. It's much difficult for you to step into a foreign country and decide you want to set up and decide you want to conform to the culture of that and actually succeed there. It's much difficult. And we have the opportunity right here to make a success in our country. And if you think about it, we have the population, we have the economy. You can look at the negatives, but you can also look at the positives. You can look at how many people are working and compared to how many people are not working. You can look at entrepreneurship, you understand? So there's so much dynamics in our country, is that our country is definitely in a better place than it's been 10 years ago. And that's something I can definitely tell you. Although I'm not a politician, I can definitely believe that our country is definitely in a better position. If Sheldon can make a career out of cutting hair, what about the next person?
What about the next person? Sheldon Tatchell, Mr. Legends Barber himself. Thank you so much for joining us on the Carol Ofori podcast. We've learned a whole lot, and we wish you all the best, and we look forward to seeing what's next.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show, Carol. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. That's the Carol Ofori podcast. For thought-provoking conversations, listen at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app.